So I'm here today with the participants in our NDP summer program, and I wanted to have a conversation with them. And so we're not set up ideally. We've only got one microphone sitting in the middle of the table, but here we are at the dining room table. And today I'd like for them to introduce themselves. So I'll start here. Our first participant is,
I'm Peter.
how old are you, Peter?
I'm 16.
16 years old. Very good. And
My name is Samuel Heimlich, and I am 14 years old.
right.
My name is Madeline Branch. I am 18.
My name is Sarah Heimlich, and I am 16 years old.
And for the last 2 days, we have been working together. And there have been a variety of different things that we've done so far. Let's talk a little bit about Discovery Day yesterday. Took a Strength Finders test and learned a little bit more about yourself. Sarah, talk a little bit about what you found out about yourself.
I took the Strength Finders test a couple years ago, so it wasn't as new for me, but just to re-dive into some of those things that I knew about myself was very, very interesting. When I took the Strength Finders test, it really helped me to understand certain things about me, why I reacted to certain things in a certain way, or certain tendencies, the differences in my family, why some I pushed for certain things that my family, some of the family members didn't see quite why. And so the test really, really helped me. And so my top one is activator. So I push things to get done, and that was just really, really helpful. So finding that as a good quality and figuring out how to use it in the best possible light was very, very helpful. And I really appreciate that.
So, for those of you who are not familiar, Strength Finders is a test. It's a dynamic test, so it changes as you take it. And so you have about 35 minutes to record various responses to kind of a range of questions. And there's at the end a report that you receive, and it's based on kind of 34 themes. And at least with the test that we took, you can figure out what your top five themes are out of those 34. And so there's a book to go along with it. How to Strengths-Based Leadership is the name of the book that we were talking about yesterday. Sam, talk about what was maybe surprising to you in taking the StrengthFinders test.
All right. I took the Strength Finders test only a couple days ago, so everything was relatively new to me. And what I found surprising, probably one of the things I found surprising, was probably belief. I don't think that is a strength that any of my other family members have, or at least have very high on the list. It was my number one. And so, yeah, it was kind of interesting just sort of learning, and also sort of in the future going to be watching after reading my report a couple of times. I'll be watching and being like, oh, okay, this is how I react, even though I haven't faced this certain circumstance yet, or that type of thing. But yeah, it was insightful and very, very interesting.
Peter and Maddie took the test. I guess Maddie, you took it last year, and Peter just took it. But four of the five strengths that both Peter and Maddie had were the exact same strengths. That was incredibly unusual. So, Maddie, talk a little bit about for you what Strength Finders and learning about yourself in that way has helped you to be able to understand better.
Okay, so when I first took the test about a year ago, I was completely unfamiliar with the whole program and the different strengths thing, so it didn't mean a lot to me. So it took a while to get into it, but then as I studied it and learned what the different things meant, it was strange but really helpful how it like explained things that I would feel or do in ways that I didn't know exactly why. So yeah, it's been interesting to see on paper what's been in me all these years. And really helpful to just be aware of those things that I've not thought of as strengths in the past, and to be aware that they're there.
Yeah, to be able to act on those things. A lot of times, you know, you don't You don't know what you don't know, particularly about yourself.
Yes.
And so it's kind of enlightening, and it can be very freeing. You find out about yourself, but oh, so that's why.
Yeah.
And that's actually a strength.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, you took the test just a handful of days ago. Tell me about that. What was that like? And did you learn anything from the process?
It was interesting. Some of the questions did not really apply to me. So it was kind of interesting to see what I got. I ended up getting belief, responsibility, adaptability, and includer. And then at the end, I got futuristic.
Futuristic. It's super helpful to learn. I took the first test. Our team in Indianapolis did this together as a team back in 2009. We were on a retreat and we did a strengths reveal, kind of like we did yesterday, guessing what other people's strengths were and then sharing. And it was super helpful as a team to do that. And with us all doing it together, it's something that we referenced back on years later, even.
Yeah.
Because it really helped us to understand each other and to value the gifts and abilities that other people brought in a way that, that we didn't before. So leadership, one of the things that we talked about yesterday was that there's not any one right way to lead, that there's lots of different ways and that you can be a leader with whatever strength set you have. There's a variety of things that are kind of mixed in throughout this week to help develop leaders. But today our theme is leaders develop good habits and they are effective. And so today we went over Atomic Habits and listened to a portion of that while we were weeding corn. And then we also went over 7 Habits of Highly Effective People this afternoon. So were there any takeaways from either one of the books that were helpful to you in this idea of thinking about developing habits and being effective? Anybody at all?
Definitely the need to keep pushing forward when things get rough, which obviously it's something I know, but it's not fun.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a reminder to keep going. So if you always quit when things get hard, you'll never be able to do hard things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just being able to continue just little by little moving the needle forward and pushing forward is important if you're going to be able to make a difference over the long haul.
Yes.
Anybody else? Anything stuck out to you?
One thing that stuck out was just kind of like what you said, but the 1% changes and just how they, like, I think they used an expression of if your room is a mess and suddenly, you know, like you get this motivation to clean your room and you're like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and get my room all clean. And then they, you know, in a 2 weeks time, it gets very, very messy again. That motivation doesn't stay. It goes away. And so starting by smaller bits, and then when you get to the point where every week at the end of the week, your room is clean. And that's a smaller portion of what they said, but just 1% changes over the course of time make a big difference.
Yeah.
I think probably the biggest thing, it kind of resonated with my life, definitely, that I could see was it's very easy to lose ground by giving up doing a habit or trying to develop a habit and then just giving up doing it like once. And it is so difficult, it seems, to try to gain like 1 inch of ground by completing that habit every single day. And it just like seems so incredibly difficult. And like in Atomic Habits, he was talking about pretty much like Sarah said, 1% changes, that type of thing. And then he used the example of like you're in a cold room and there's an ice cube in front of you. And so the degrees is, you know, 22, and very slightly the degrees starts to go up and nothing happens until it reaches like 32 degrees. And then the ice cube starts to melt. Well, nothing was happening at 31 degrees, but it was just that 1 degree change. Mm-hmm. So just consistently trying to, even when it's hard, consistently do those habits and gain mm-hmm. that 1 inch of ground and not letting yourself just slip is mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the opportunity to be able to be together this week, to work together on these things, to continue to learn lessons. There's leadership lessons each day. Mm-hmm. There's life lessons each day. There are so many different things about life and about just day-to-day stuff that really mm-hmm. are leadership lessons.
Yes.
And learning how to lead in spite of the challenges, mm-hmm. as we're going to learn about in the day that we talk about leaders being resilient. It's really a big part of leadership. As Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly all your well-made plans, all the things that you thought you had in mind that you were going to do, just kind of go out the window. So I think the challenge in leadership many times is just to keep moving ahead,
mm-hmm.
just to keep doing the next right thing,
mm-hmm.
And to continue to just make those small choices that do make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
We talked earlier today about one of my friends that came and shared when I was in college, and he said one of the best things you can do for your spiritual life is break the snooze button on your alarm clock.
Yes.
You know, again, pushing snooze on your alarm clock is not the end of the world, but it does set a pattern mm-hmm. in your life. What kind of person am I going to be? Am I going to be the kind of person who follows through on my commitments, who actually does the things that I say I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I tell myself the night before, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I push the snooze button and say, I decided I didn't want to be that person this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the challenge in leadership is, are we going to continue to just push forward even when we don't feel like it? So there's a lot of challenges that we're facing this week. And so this past afternoon, we worked on clearing trails. We were weeding corn this morning. There's lots of things that we're doing, including going to Detroit tomorrow and then going canoeing and kayaking.
Yes.
As we celebrate on Friday. Friday is our celebration day.
Yeah.
And we're using Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. And so each day has disciplines, some of the 12 disciplines that we're looking at and focusing on. And then, of course, just spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship. Continuing to develop leaders at every level
mm-hmm.
is what the Nehemiah Discipleship Program is about. And so I'm excited to see each one of you develop as leaders and continue to develop. So just in closing, is there anything that has particularly been helpful, you feel like, in participation with NDP, either the experience or the training program, that you feel like, you know what, other young people should benefit from this? Anything that you would say has just been particularly helpful to you?
I'm trying to think how I should say this. I want to call it hard love. All the leaders at NDP are here to help you as a young person to grow spiritually, and that does not mean they let you off when you're done weeding corn and you have a hut whist.
Yes. True.
Poor Sarah.
I just want a food snack.
She's been wanting to say that all day.
I have.
No. They don't make things easy, but mm-hmm. at the same time, they absolutely take care of you and make sure you have yes. what you need. Make sure there's water out there while you're working, but you have to keep working.
Yeah.
And just the encouragement of being around so many other Christian young people mm-hmm. who are passionate about their walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intense weekend or week, depending on the program, mm-hmm. but it's really good and worth every minute of work.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, what about you?
Well, this is my first year participating in summer NDP, but so far it's been a big blessing in my life. NDP is definitely not for everybody, but it is very helpful to the people that want it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been good just to come and to read the books in work, even when you don't want to. And we get to do it with friends, and we get to have conversations with each other. It's a special time. It's a hard time. It's a God-focused time, and it's a time that we get to come and grow in our spiritual life and in relationship-wise with our friends. So it is a must.
Yeah. Sarah, anything?
Yeah. So definitely the experience is very near and dear to my heart. And this is also my first year doing the summer program. So I can't say a whole lot about it, but I already love it. And it's just, I feel like the experience, you kind of start to realize like, oh, wow, there are kids like my age that are just as passionate about God as like as me. And so when you first come to the experience, you surround yourself with a community. And then because when you have that community and that relationship with those leaders and those peers in more than just a, hey, yeah, it's fun, let's go play volleyball and then I'm never going to talk to you again. But it's a continual accountability from one year to the next. And with the summer program, it is just, it's an intense training time. And that is just beautiful. And I love it because you have the communication and the relationship with the people from the experience. You are able to grow even deeper in discipline in the week summer program. I that's what I've gotten out of it so far, but it is just absolutely amazing. And it isn't for everyone. It is a boot camp. It's not a youth camp, but for the people that want it, I highly, highly recommend it. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, our philosophy behind what we're doing is we're trying to really train a new tribe of Christian leaders that will engage in God's global mission. So it's highly missional, and really trying to focus in on that is our goal. And really setting a higher bar. And so hopefully helping the young people who do participate to see that God has lots of different ways that they can use the skills and abilities that he's given them, but to help develop them as leaders, and then also to continue to grow the group of people around them that see life as ministry and that we're all called to be ministers of God's reconciliation. That it's not just for some specialized class of people that are going to be quote-unquote ministers, but that that God has given to each one of us the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Whether we're driving a trash truck, whether we're bagging groceries at Kroger, whether we're working in a church setting or whether we're working in a home setting, whatever we're doing it all to the glory of God. And that's our focus. Well, thanks again for taking time today. And it's been great to be here in the air conditioning instead of outside in the 90-degree heat. And so we made good use of this this space and time, and look forward to seeing what God does in the rest of this week here at NDP.